Welcome back to the Manhood Talks. Tadice back with you again. Today, the most difficult topic in all of manhood. Women. What is it about women that makes us so confused? We left off in Genesis 2 with Adam in the Garden of Eden. He had work. He had free will. But so far, he's lonely. He doesn't have anyone else. And check out what God says about it in verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." This is the first time that God called anything not good. Loneliness. Man was not meant to be alone. So God made plans for gift number 3. And as with all gifts, the best is saved for last. God calls this gift a helper. Now, don't misunderstand. Helper does not mean subservient. It is not a slave, nor a minion, nor a henchman. Helper. Of all the things you can give someone, help is a beautiful gift. And to be a helper throughout all of life is something powerful. The Bible never uses the term helper to indicate a position of less value or lower standing. That's a man-made concept. In fact, the Holy Spirit, God Himself, part of the Trinity, is called helper. Think about that. This role and this title is something that God calls Himself. So whoever this helper is for Adam is going to be something special. Or someone also made in God's image. In verse 19, the Lord leads Adam through a process of naming all of the animals, but none of them are fit to be the helper. Now, it's not as though God thought maybe one of these would work. This was for Adam's sake because the process matters. Waiting for the right one matters, which for Adam meant not marrying a rhinoceros. That's a very, very intelligent choice on Adam's part. Verse 21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. That's an interesting change of method. God made woman, not from the dirt, but from Adam's own flesh and bone. Now, I've heard some teach that since women came from man, that men are superior. That's a little short-sighted, because 1 Corinthians 11 reminds us that after one woman came from the body of a man, every man since has come from the body of a woman. So, if we're keeping count, women win. They're up like 7 billion to 1. Though it may seem politically incorrect, I saw my mother outfather my father and my maternal grandmother outfather my maternal grandfather. But I refuse to let my wife outfather me. I don't think that emotions are gender specific, but how we relate, model, and display those emotions can be gender influenced. Don't misunderstand me. The Bible will later call man to lead their families, but lead as servants, not as superior. We'll get into that later. For now, look back at Adam's response in Genesis 2. It's not about inequality, it's about unity. Verse 23 states, "The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she is taken out of man.'" Adam's first words to Eve provide one of the most elegant and most beautiful verses of romantic love in all of literature. "My bones and my flesh. She is part of me and I am part of her." See, God didn't give Eve to Adam the way one gives an object or a toy. She was the greatest blessing bestowed to Adam and he to her. Do not underestimate the honor and privilege it is to be a blessing from God to another person. Now Adam's work has a purpose and his will has a purpose outside of himself that gives meaning and joy and fulfillment. Imagine if the woman were made simply for herself and the man for himself. They get along okay, but ultimately life was about self. Do you know how miserable that would be? It would be a lot like life today as far as too many marriages are concerned. Which brings me to another essential element of man's character. We have seen faith, strength, and courage, but for this new relationship, those won't be enough. For this new bride, Adam must learn to love. Again, we have a word that has been badly redefined. In the world, love is a feeling I get when I get around her, which is really just about me. I love how she makes me feel. But the love in the Bible is so much deeper. Love is about unity, commitment, and sacrifice. Laying down my feelings, my ambitions, my life for the sake of someone else. And that helps us understand the idea of helper. It's not about one person being subservient or lesser than another. It's about loving each other by serving one another. Jesus taught us that the greatest among us is the one who serves. And he also came to serve. And like I said earlier, the Holy Spirit is called the helper. So if Jesus serves and the Holy Spirit serves, what does that say about us who are made in God's image? So in your journal today, I want you to once again answer two questions. Question number one, what role do women play in your identity as a man? Question number two, what is true love? How do you think God defines it? Read your verses today for help with those and write your answers in your journal. You got the journal, right? Are you still waiting for your mama to buy it? Go buy the journal. See you guys next time.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.